At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. Welcome back to the Table Talk podcast. Tonight, I get to sit down with two pharmacists from our Farm to Table team and talk to you all about Hashimoto's. So Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition that causes low thyroid or hypothyroidism. And tonight we are going to talk with Dr. Sarah Anderson and Dr. Megan Morrison about this topic. So why don't you guys just say hello and tell me why you're interested in this topic?
Sure, I can go first. Hello, I'm Sarah Anderson. I have been interested in this topic for the last couple of years due to the fact that I've been diagnosed with subclinical hypothyroidism and specifically Hashimoto's due to my TPO antibody level. So just have kind of dug into the literature, have dug into learning as much as I can about this disease state due to the fact that it's been something that's been personal for me over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Awesome. Tell us a little bit more about your story with that. Were you presenting with certain symptoms or were there certain things that, you know, your doctor was like, no, your levels look fine. And you had to sort of, you know, keep pushing to get care.
Yeah. Great question. So I had my daughter 3 years ago and about a year after having her, I was in just for my annual physical and asked my doctor, I said, you know, I've been feeling more tired than usual, but I also have, you know, a toddler and an infant at home. So it's very nondescript. And then I also did notice too, that I was losing more of my hair, like when I was taking a shower and things of that nature. So she mentioned, you know, testing my thyroid levels. And specifically she said, you know, TSH and T4, which is what common family medicine practice docs do test. And I had, having done some research on my own prior to going to my doctor, I said, you know, can we also have my TPO antibodies checked? Because I've never had those checked, as well as T3. And my doctor is very open and, you know, welcomes any kind of insight that I have that I want to bring to the table. So she checked those, and my TSH and T4 have always, every time it has been checked, they've always been within what you would consider the normal range, knowing that the normal for everyone can look and feel different and people have different symptoms depending on where they fall and whatnot. But my antibodies were in the close to 400. And we know that there should be close to zero. So she did do a little consultation with one of her fellow endocrinologists that she practices with. And she mentioned, you know, there's no harm in putting you on a low dose levothyroxine to see if that helps. And then I also have started selenium just to see over the course of the next 6 months here or so if my thyroid peroxidase antibodies come down.
Awesome. Oh, yes. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Sometimes I find my patients by the time they get to me, and oftentimes they've been told, you know, your TSH looks fine. It's in this wide normal range that is more than like our normal. And they, you know, continue to feel not well. And then sometimes even when their TSH gets into the optimal range, they're still not well because of some of the other symptoms. But before we get too far, Megan, do you want to just say hello and where you are and a little bit about what interests you about Hashimoto's?
Yeah. Hi, I'm so glad to be back. I am Megan Morrison. I am in San Antonio, Texas, and I am interested in just thyroid in general. I came to functional medicine because of my own health journey and just learning all about that and trying to find root causes. And thyroid affects the whole body and so many different systems in the body. And so, you know, optimizing that is crucial, especially for women. A lot of women come to functional medicine and a lot of women are affected by thyroid disorder and Hashimoto's specifically. So just trying to learn as much as I can to help as many people as I can.
Right, right. Perfect. Yeah. And you're also your interest in endocrine disrupting chemicals and getting those out of our system definitely fits well with this topic.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just to define Hashimoto's, we know that it is an autoimmune condition and it involves chronic inflammation of the thyroid gland. So you may hear the terms Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which that thyroiditis just means in the Latin form, inflammation of the thyroid. And really it's our body's own immune system attacking the thyroid, much like any other autoimmune condition where your body, you know, it might, if it's Crohn's disease, it might be attacking in the intestines. If it's rheumatoid arthritis, it might be attacking overall other types of cells. So this particular autoimmune condition focuses on the thyroid, although a lot of the symptoms that can manifest sometimes can be more of a chronic inflammatory state and not just, you know, thyroid symptoms that we think of. And it's the most, I think the big thing for me is that even though this is the most common cause of hypothyroidism in the country, the standard of care is only to check TSH. So that blows my mind sometimes. I'm like, this is the most common cause, but we're not actually going to kind of confirm that this is an autoimmune condition that actually causes this. So that's something to think about. So if you have hypothyroidism and you don't know if it's autoimmune or not, and you're not feeling well controlled, that's really something that you should be like, hey, like I want to find out if it's autoimmune and be able to address some of these other pieces. And then oftentimes if the inflammation isn't addressed and the, you know, that disease process isn't addressed, that's really where the thyroid function starts to decline and we start to see the thyroid particular symptoms and sometimes to the point where the thyroid's not functioning well at all. So people may have to increase their doses of thyroid hormone if that's what they're using to treat. But like Megan said, it's more common in women. So it's 4 to 10 times more common in women than men and typically appears in midlife, like Sarah's presentation. I do find, you know, and this is true of many autoimmune conditions that women, they have more risk of thyroid when it's postpartum in that postpartum period. And a lot of that has to do with the hormone fluctuation. So we have this protective estrogen and progesterone levels in the pregnancy period. And then after pregnancy, that's when those levels drop. And then that's when we can be more at risk for some of these changes and have less protection on that inflammation regulation process. So definitely in the stress and the poor sleep and all of the things that come postpartum definitely don't help with that process. So Megan, do you want to run down some of the symptoms that people would experience if they have Hashimoto's?
Sure. So I guess I try to think of it, Melody said it's hypothyroid, so low thyroid function, and kind of think of everything in the body just like slowing down. So we can get fatigue, muscle aches and pains, depression and anxiety can come. I think Sarah mentioned this earlier, like hair thinning. So hair like on our head kind of starting to thin. Also the outer like third of the eyebrow can start to thin. So that's a good sign. Weight gain or just kind of like unexplained weight gain, sensitivity to cold, constipation, and then it can mess with a woman's cycle. And then with Hashimoto's, we can also get that goiter or an enlarged thyroid. And you can even kind of like just see that in someone, the thyroid gland, you know, located in the neck gets inflamed and that can kind of make it difficult to swallow and cause hoarseness and things like that. And then I think too, Melody had mentioned this, we were talking offline, but like brain fog is a big one, especially with the autoimmune, you know, kind of, that's kind of, I would say pretty common in all autoimmune is just that kind of like neuroinflammation, brain fog, issues with memory and focus, yeah, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the piece that so many patients are like, hey, like I've got my level under control, but I'm still not well. I still don't feel like I can function, take care of my kids and do my job or whatever their situation is. And so that's where functional medicine can really come in and get at that root cause. Like they fix the thyroid hormone level because that is important for so many pieces in our body. It's important for our bone health. It's important for making hormones and metabolism and all these things. But if we don't fix the inflammatory piece, then we're not fully correcting the syndrome. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. But we can talk a little bit further in depth about the screening here. So Sarah, do you want to run us through sort of what the full thyroid panel looks like? Because often we mentioned already that most of the time our general medical providers are just using TSH because honestly, that's what the national guidelines really say is still the gold standard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, a full thyroid panel, which everyone should feel empowered to ask their doctor about if they are suspecting that they have hypothyroidism, would include TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone, free T4, free T3, reverse T3, total T3. And T3 is the hormone that's actually the active hormone in your body. So T4 gets converted to T3. So it's important to know both the T4 and T3 levels just to make sure and or to confirm whether or not your body's converting the free T4 into T3, the active form of the hormone. And then as well as the thyroid antibodies, like I mentioned before, there's two different types. One is the TPO, which stands for thyroid peroxidase antibodies, and the other is thyroglobulin antibodies. So those would be, if antibodies are present, that would be indicative of Hashimoto's versus general hypothyroidism that doesn't necessarily have the autoimmune causation.
Yeah. Yeah. And reverse T3 is really important marker because if we see that to be elevated, so basically the T4, which is the levothyroxine that many people are supplementing with, but that's also, you know, naturally produced in the body by the thyroid, has to be converted, like Sarah said, to T3. But if there's a lot of inflammation in the body, it can actually be converted to reverse T3 instead. And so then that's sort of a marker that we can look at and say, okay, there's a lot of inflammation going on here. And if you have good T4 levels, but you're not getting the active form, you're still not going to feel well, no matter how high you go on your levothyroxine or your T4 dose. It's really important, again, to look at the full picture so we can see, is this happening? Are we getting good conversion of T4 to T3? Because there are nutrients and other things we can do to try to help with that conversion. And if people do need to use medication to address hypothyroidism hormones, then there's also options for supplementing with T3, whether that's being compounded by a compounding pharmacy or the prescription medication that addresses the T3 component. So those can be used in combination, but we're going to talk about some of the functional medicine pieces. Who wants to talk about underlying causes?
I'll start off. I actually have this beautiful picture pulled up and y'all were talking about reverse T3 and T3. I was just going to mention, this kind of goes into the underlying factors, but some of those things that increase conversion of the T4, which is inactive, to reverse T3, which is really what we don't want, right? We want active T3 to be going throughout the body. So things that can increase that conversion to reverse T3 are stress, which yes. Every podcast we always come back to stress and the gut, stress and the gut.
Every podcast,
stress.
Every patient discussion too.
Yep. Trauma, inflammation, again, is always in the conversation. Toxins, Melody mentioned earlier, I have just become so passionate about endocrine disrupting chemicals and environmental toxins. And that really is a big one, especially for people with Hashimoto's or, you know, any kind of thyroid disorder. Infections and even certain medications can interfere with all this. So there is a lot to think about. And it's normally not just one underlying cause, right? There's normally kind of multiple, and there's like this perfect storm that happens for a lot of people. And so it does take a while to kind of pick at the layers and peel things back and dig deep. But thyroid medication can be great. But unfortunately, that's a lot of times where they stop in conventional medicine and in functional medicine. We really, really want to keep digging so we can hopefully get people feeling optimal. And the big goal would be to, if you have Hashimoto's, to put it into remission or go down on your thyroid dose. So there's so much more we can do in functional medicine. I think it's important that we talk about those.
Yeah. And the intestinal permeability piece. So I think we've talked a little bit about this on some of the other podcast episodes, but basically we get, you know, the layman's term or the blogosphere term of leaky gut, which in the literature is called intestinal permeability. But this can be caused by some chronic infections. It can be caused by stress. It can be caused by a whole host of different things. But basically the cell lining in the gut allows more larger particles to go through. And those larger particles, the immune system doesn't recognize. So it thinks they're foreign and it starts to attack them. And then that sort of revs up the immune system to be on this heightened response. And this is a lot of the development of a lot of atopic conditions like eczema or allergies, but also a lot of autoimmune conditions. And sometimes it could be your body responding to certain foods like gluten or dairy in larger larger pieces when if the gut was really tight, the junctions were tight, it would have to be broken down into smaller pieces before it would get into your bloodstream. But it could be a variety of different things. It doesn't have to be those triggers that we think about. But a lot of times we do put patients on sort of an autoimmune diet protocol, or let's help reduce this inflammation and figure out what your triggers are, because most people don't even avoid everything, but trying to figure out what that person's responding to can be helpful. There's certainly tests that we can do to figure out those things as well. But chronic infections can also be a cause of that. So if you've got chronic yeast or chronic GI imbalances, if we don't have the right bacteria sort of like soothing that lining or closing those gaps, then, you know, that can also contribute to the intestinal permeability. And as Megan mentioned, we've got the environmental pollutants and other sources of inflammation. But I agree with you. Like sometimes it's just the perfect storm of things that happen to people's body. In my case, I have not been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, but even just me getting to SIBO was this perfect storm of, I didn't eat super great growing up. I had a lot of stress, especially in college, and lots of antibiotics as a kid. And so moving after that into my young adult years and getting pregnant and the stresses of working while that, and then after I had a traumatic sort of birthing experience, and that was for me what set me over the edge into a lot of the symptoms that caused me to seek out functional medicine practitioners. So for some people, that stress is a divorce that puts them over the head, or a child's illness, or being a caretaker for someone, whether it's a child or a parent or something like that. So there's lots of stressors that we have to look at. And a lot of that isn't just taking a supplement for your stress. It's not just, you know, taking ashwagandha, although ashwagandha can be a great tool here. It's really getting to the root of, is there trauma in the past that needs something like cognitive behavioral therapy or eye movement desensitization? Is it trauma that there's other, you know, hypnosis or acupuncture? And there's lots of different modalities and trying to help people work through past trauma, but it definitely has to be something that the patient and recognizes and can move past, because we do know trauma is linked to a whole host of chronic conditions. Other thoughts, Sarah, that you have about underlying causes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like to use this term that you both use, the perfect storm, as far as what's great about functional medicine is that we can help piece together those perfect storm pieces by listening to patients talk about their history, their family history. Oftentimes, you know, we talked about how this happens often in women, and often their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers also have had hypothyroidism in the past. So it's interesting to see the potential genetic hereditary piece, as well as if that kind of historical hypothyroidism is due to how people have been eating and how and their environment, if they have similar eating and environmental factors as folks that came before them. Also, I think it's interesting just the fact that there are so many potential viral, bacterial, fungal infections that could be a piece of that puzzle as far as another instigating factor that could trigger the development of Hashimoto's as well. So another interesting piece to consider and to kind of think about.
Great point. Like EBV, like monovirus, often triggers some autoimmune conditions, even lead in some cases to some cancers, which is ultimately a dysfunction of the immune system too. So those chronic viral infections, those are tricky. The bacterial ones are like, we can figure this out. We think viral infections, really, we just have to work on that immune system support too. And those things you're not getting in the conventional approach. The conventional approach is like, okay, your thyroid's low, here's some thyroid hormone. Yeah. You in 3 months, or, you know, we'll check levels in eight weeks, maybe if you're lucky. But they're not talking about this whole picture and like, how did we actually get to this place? Mm-hmm. And so until you can have a discussion with someone about how you actually got there, you're not going to be able to figure out how to go back to that time frame. And maybe you'll never get back exactly, you know, but you'll get to a place where you're more functional. Cool.
I was just going to say one thing Sarah touched on, and it's so important. There is definitely a genetic piece to Hashimoto's, and we don't want to overlook that. But I think in functional medicine, especially, we just really go back to, there's so much we can do to hopefully prevent that disease from expressing itself. If you do have a family history of this, let's work on it now, you know, as soon as possible. And all those lifestyle factors and just supporting your body and your mental health, physical health, all that to prevent that progression. There's so much we can do.
That's a great point. And that's really where we have, you know, a couple different visit types. We have a wellness visit type and a functional medicine visit type, but the wellness visit type would be perfect for that person that says, hey, my family history, you know, shows a lot of autoimmune conditions. I sort of feel fine right now, but I just want to optimize my health. And there's not necessarily a big deep dive that we have to do into their symptoms and when they occurred, but how do we move forward with keeping them healthy? So that's a good point, and trying to bring people in earlier before it gets to a point where we have to reverse this. Let's prevent it instead, which unfortunately is just not how our healthcare system is set up. We're set up to be a sick care system and take care of people after they've been sick. And our wellness visit process is like, oh, your heart sounds good. Your lungs sound good. Here's the screenings that we need to do today. And we'll see you next time. It's nothing about how you're eating or how you're moving or breathing or de-stressing or any of those kinds of things. So we're here to change that.
Yes, 100%. And I think it's great. We have both the wellness visits, functional medicine visits, and health coaching visits, which can really help, especially with the stress management piece and with changing how one eats, et cetera, different things that you need some behavior change around or habit change around, new habit formation change.
Right, for sure. Awesome. So if someone comes into our practice, you know, virtually, because we're practicing virtually, where do we start with those patients? And when we're talking to them about Hashimoto's?
The gut.
The gut. All things begin in the gut, right?
Definitely needs to be addressed. There's so many things that can be addressed, right? But the gut has to be definitely part of that beginning stage. We've talked about this. We've written blogs about it, but the 5-hour protocol, I think everyone should probably do some form of that, right? But just trying to heal that gut, especially with Hashimoto's and any other autoimmune condition. Melody talked about leaky gut and just getting red, removing anything that is inflammatory to that person, right? I think there's like this really good framework that we can go off of in functional medicine, but then we do need to personalize. So the person may have different triggers and food sensitivities and tolerances, things like that, but addressing the gut, bringing down that inflammation, healing and sealing, and then reseeding, putting those good probiotics and things back in. That's definitely needs to be at the beginning, right? Working on that gut and inflammation.
Yeah. And I do find that a lot of people that come to me that have Hashimoto's symptoms, they have gut symptoms too. I'd say, you know, 9 out of 10 of them already have some gut symptoms. So we've definitely got some work to do and some reason to evaluate those things for sure. And then correcting nutrient depletions is huge. So some of the nutrients that we often think about being depleted are selenium, which Sarah mentioned at the beginning. And then zinc is also really important to thyroid function, which I find a lot of people are zinc deficient, and not necessarily overt zinc deficiency where a lab would say you are low, but they're in a point where they're not at an optimal zinc level. Zinc is so important for not only thyroid health, but for the immune system, also for endocrine health. So I may have brought this up before, but zinc is really important in insulin production. And so it also can decrease insulin resistance in people with prediabetes. So there's lots of important functions. If we think about like our Krebs cycle, which is the cycle that makes energy in our body, which if anyone is listening, that's a healthcare professional or a science nerd, they can see this in their minds when they've studied biochemistry before. But zinc is involved in so many of those different processes in that process of making energy. So it's just a really important nutrient to make sure that we have adequate levels of. We do have to be careful about supplementing with too much of anything, but too much zinc can also drive copper too low. But I really haven't had that clinically happen to someone when testing for zinc and copper, you know, levels as follow-up, you know, even if they're taking 50 twice a day. But more reasonable doses of zinc are probably around 20 milligrams of zinc sulfate per day. 20 to 30 milligrams has been the study doses, especially in some of the metabolic literature. I don't know did I mention the milligrams of selenium? I don't think I did. So the study dose of selenium for Hashimoto's, and again, none of this recommendations is, you know, us as your providers, if you're listening, these are definitely things you need to talk about with your healthcare provider to make decisions about supplementation. But selenium methionine is the form that we would want to use, and that would be about 200 micrograms mammograms and in the clinical trials. That would be something to do, you know, consider doing. Other things like iron status should be assessed. Oftentimes I hear, oh, we have too much iron in our body. And there's a lot of like blog posts talking about too much iron. And while too much iron and excess iron could be an issue, I find more often that people are actually depleted in iron or don't have enough iron stores, especially in women that are menstruating. And so a lot of the women that are coming the first time with Hashimoto's are in, you know, that time where they are still menstruating. And so that's something to look at and not just look at CBC, which is the hemoglobin hematocrit, but look beyond that at actually ferritin and iron levels and see, you know, if they have adequate stores. But anyone want to talk about iodine and the role in the thyroid? No? Okay. That's okay. Another one of our nutrients that we often talk about is iodine when it comes to thyroid health. So iodine is important in the actual production of thyroid hormone. And actually one of the causes of low thyroid is actually iodine deficiency, which is why we have iodized salt that is now commercially made in a lot of our food products. And that gives us enough iodine to not have issues with the iodine. However, there are still some people, especially people that have avoided iodized salt for many other reasons that we don't have time to fully get into. But if that's the case, sometimes there can be a deficiency in iodine. It's a little tricky to test that because sometimes we can test urine levels. We can also test blood levels, but the times that I have tested it, it's not been real clear if that's, you know, truly deficient. And there are some case reports of people that get iodine, they do iodine supplementation and their Hashimoto's symptoms worsen because it's aggravating the condition in a way. So it definitely is a little bit of a, you know, catch 22 sometimes, but we do want to make sure that you have enough iodine in your diet to support thyroid function. So you can get iodine from things like kelp and seaweed. So even just trying to find foods that are good sources of iodine can be a great way to support your body without having to do additional supplementation. But definitely work with someone that can measure your levels before you, I wouldn't start that, you know, just willy-nilly without measuring levels and seeing that someone's deficient. But definitely something to consider, especially when someone may be not presenting with antibodies and trying to figure out the cause of the low thyroid levels. And then other things we have on here, A and D, which A and D are really important to a lot of different things in the body, but they're both fat soluble vitamins. So if people have impaired fat digestion, which can often happen when the gut gets out of balance and we're not getting good gallbladder flow and bile flow, that can cause prevention of absorption of some of those nutrients. And then D itself is just not in a lot of foods. It's supplemented into some dairy products, but it's not something that we get from nature without going out in the sun very often. There's actually a friend that recently showed me this app that you can actually see like what time of day you should go outside and how long you should spend outside. So I'll have to find out the name of that and put that in the show notes. But so there are ways to try to increase your sunlight. I'm in Ohio right now and Sarah's in Minnesota. So right now she was in negative temperatures today. We started out the day at 9 degrees. So we're not getting too much sunlight here. So we're definitely supplementing in this northern half of the United States. But even in our southern half of the United States, we do find people that they're not optimal with their vitamin D levels. And there's a lot of debate and are the guidelines for vitamin D actually adequate. There might be adequate for bone, but maybe they're not adequate for immune function and some of the other roles that vitamin D has in the body. And so that's why a lot of functional medicine practitioners target higher levels than you will see, you know, reported on your reports that you get from your vitamin D level from the labs. Definitely something important to consider, but when we're talking autoimmune conditions, that D is really important and to help regulating the immune process. A couple other supplements that I find to be helpful. One is black cumin seed oil. And this one particularly has some data in Hashimoto's, and it is an anti-inflammatory oil. And so it's a seed. And so it has anti-inflammatory properties, and that can help again with this whole process of the thyroiditis and the Hashimoto's autoimmune process is inflammatory. There are some studies that show decreased antibodies with that particular supplement, but other things, curcumin, other, you know, quercetin, other things that are polyphenols type rich, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables also can help decrease inflammation as well as omega-3 fatty acids. So there's lots of different options there. I have women that are pregnant or breastfeeding that are looking for options to support their thyroid function, especially in the Hashimoto's, and most supplements outside of the vitamins have not been studied very well in pregnancy and breastfeeding. So that's where I would really make sure D levels are optimized, make sure that, you know, we've got good and anti-inflammatory foods and then we can do DHA and an omega-3 fatty acids, definitely in those situations. And then stress hormone support. So we can talk a little bit about stress. You guys want to talk about your favorite stress relief things? Because I know in a lot of autoimmune conditions, when people go into remission and then they're doing well, like the thing that throws them out is not them forgetting to take their supplement for a few days or a week or so. It's some kind of stressful experience. So what are your top tips for managing stress?
I can start. So I personally really like various kind of guided imagery meditations that you can do either the morning or the evening or whatever time of day kind of works best for you, but Calm, Headspace, those are a couple of great free apps that have guided imagery meditations. You can do 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes and kind of choose what works for your schedule. Also just kind of like a calming yoga, just to calm your body down, get your breathing going, your deep breathing, four squared breathing, where you breathe in for a count of four, hold your breath for a count of four and breathe out for a count of four. Just going for a long walk in nature when it's not negative 10 degrees out. That can be a great stress relief. Just getting out, getting sunlight, getting your body moving and enjoying, you know, being, staying present with what's around you with nature. So those are some ideas that, that I prefer, that I enjoy doing.
And I'll piggyback off of that. Definitely getting outside. Like Sarah said, I'm in Texas, so our weather is crazy. Like the other day, I think it was in the 80s and sunny, you know? And so I have a little more opportunities to get outside and get that sunlight. Even if it's not sunny, I'll just go, like, I have a chair in the middle of the backyard that I'll just go sit in for maybe 5 minutes. Like in the middle of the day, I may be feeling a little overwhelmed or stressed. I'm like, I'm just going to go outside. I let the dog out and she runs around the backyard and I just sit in that chair. And I'm like, people might think they're weird. Might think I'm weird if they see me in the middle of the backyard, but you know, there's just something about being out in nature, and maybe you've heard of grounding and like putting your bare feet on the grass and on the earth. I love Insight Timer. I don't know if you mentioned that one, Sarah, but that's a meditation app. It's free. And then you can filter if you want a 2-minute meditation or a 60-minute, you know, whatever fits your schedule and whatever works for you. I'll put that on at night to help me fall asleep or in the middle of the day. I found one the other day for helping with your energy. And I think it was 6 minutes. And I think we mentioned all these different techniques and then people feel like they don't have time. And then it's like, those are probably the people who need it the most. And I'm guilty of that. I'll run around and that makes me feel stressed. I'm like, if I just took 2 minutes to sit down and take a few deep breaths, I think Melody, I think we need to do a podcast just talking about different techniques for stress reduction. Cause I thought about this the other day and I think someone asked me, well, like, how do you reduce stress? Every podcast we talk about, you have to reduce your stress. It's so chronic stress is so bad.
We have done a couple on breathing and yoga recently. So, but yeah, there's other certain things, acupuncture, other things like we could get.
Oh yeah. Acupuncture is really great. I was actually telling someone the other day, one of my best friend, she's a PA, she's on in urgent care. And so she's on the front lines during all this and hectic schedule and stress. And I said, listen, what if you went and tried acupuncture? I said, I know you don't like massage, didn't like people touching her. I said, acupuncture not only is like the actual, you know, the needles and the whole, that whole thing, there are so many benefits to that. But I'm like, you would be alone in this just quiet room for 30 minutes. I'm like, that is what you need. It's just a little bit of quiet in your day. So yeah, so many things that we can do, but you have to find what works for you. And not everyone is open to meditation and that's okay. But you do have to find something. Oh, and puzzles. I like to puzzle. That can be kind of calming, depending on your personality.
Unless you're like, oh my goodness, I'm
exactly
like a competition with yourself.
Yeah.
That would be me. I led a guided meditation. I put up a yoga video or a meditation video from Yoga with Adrienne's YouTube series. We did it with some women this last Thursday at my daughter's school. And I always am amazed by how fast you get to like the stomach gurgling spot where your like digestive system is working. And like, we're only laying there for 10, 15 minutes total, but by like 3 minutes, you can hear like the digestive system activating and which is like your parasympathetic system like going. So I always find that amazing, you know, and try to point that out to people. It's like, doesn't take long to get to that point where we're out of this fight and flight and back into this rest and digest mode. So good. Well, those are great tips to end on today. So if you are hearing this series and you're like, oh my goodness, this is me, I've been taking this thyroid medication. I don't feel better, or I just got diagnosed and I really would love some help to try to get to this point, whatever stage you're in, or if you're in that stage where, hey, my family has been dealing with this, but I want to make sure that I'm on track and I try to optimize my body as much as I can, as much as I have the power to, you know, prevent these things, then, you know, we would love to work with you. So feel free to check out our website. And also our table talk is also a great opportunity to join. We meet twice a month on Mondays at 7:30 PM Eastern. And we just have an hour long session. Right now we're talking about Hashimoto's, but by the time we listen to this, those sessions will be over, but we'll have those recorded. So if you want to take more of a dive, we'll have 4 weeks of content available to listen to that are part of that. But those are times where you can ask questions. It's a great place to start. If you just have questions, the first month is free. You can jump on, ask questions to our team, and then, you know, go from there. And if it makes sense to schedule an appointment and go further. So definitely check out the website at farmtotable, PharmTotable.life, LIFE. And we hope to connect and whatever that capacity looks like with you soon. So thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.